Can I kick it? Kick it.
The segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan. We talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season right here on ESPN 1000. Off a little bit early today for White Sox baseball, and White Sox Weekly will come your way at 10:30. But let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above, where we go down to Augusta and find James Colgan from golf.com. Good morning, James. How is the state of Georgia treating you in Augusta National?
Man, Tyler, the state of Georgia has been treating me about as well as it has ever treated me in four Masters runs this year. This is the best tournament conditions I've ever seen. This is one of the best fields I've ever seen. And as we head for Sunday, Saturday, moving day, and the rest of the weekend here at the Masters, this is truly just a joy to be around. I mean, it is shaping up to be a historic weekend, and I am absolutely pumped to check it out.
So, Jason, good to have you on. And my question for you is based on, we just had a discussion of the three. Out of the three, Homa, DeChambeau, and Scheffler, who do you give the nod to?
Man, I mean, if you're picking one guy right now, it's very, very hard to pick against Scottie Scheffler in this group. I mean, I said at the beginning of the week, I thought it was about as likely that he won this tournament as anyone else in the field, as in saying, I would take him over the field if I were given the option. And nothing I've seen through 36 holes of play here has kind of knocked me off of that standpoint. I think that Scotty has the game right now. He's got the swing right now. He's executing at the level he needs to. And I think perhaps most crucially, he hasn't had the best round of his weekend, or at least the best round of his week. I think he still has that super low 18 greens and, you know, a ton of birdie looks round within him, and we just haven't seen it yet. So I'm excited to see what Saturday has in store, but I think there's as good a chance that Scotty runs away with it today as there is that we wind up in a position where there's maybe a two or three way race for the title on Sunday.
James Colgan with us here from golf.com, joining us live from Augusta. As we saw the second round conclude yesterday, how crazy was that finish where we see the cut line move from 4 to 5 to 6?
Man, it was absolutely nuts. I said, and all the time I've been covering the Masters and covering golf, I'm not sure I've seen many rounds of golf that were playing tougher than yesterday afternoon. The wind was absolutely ripping. The course was really firming up very quickly. It was so gusty out there that the sand was literally carrying out of the bunkers and out onto the greens, which is something you never see, and particularly not here. The conditions were super, super tough. And I think the cut line moving as quickly and as kind of far back as it did was a really good indication of kind of how difficult it was playing. I mean, we saw a bunch of guys eject out at the last second yesterday. Justin Thomas shoots three doubles on his last three holes to miss the cut by one. He was six shots off the lead when that stretch started. So, I mean, when you look at the state of affairs out there, when the wind is gusting and the conditions are as bouncy and firm as they are here this week, it's really, really hard to keep a low score at Augusta. Fortunately, the wind is down today, so I think we're going to see a little bit more birdie opportunities, a little bit fewer complete ejections like we saw on Friday. But yeah, it was certainly tough sledding on Friday afternoon for all those guys who wound up on the wrong side of the draw.
Absolutely, no doubt. But you do mention the weather has changed. What a difference a day makes. And how likely do you think somebody could go as low as 64 or 63 that's maybe sitting at one under or even and rhymes with Ori?
Well, I think if anyone is going to do it, it probably will be him, because I think we've seen enough of him in this tournament over the years to know the exact second that he finds himself completely out of contention is the second that he will click into whatever the best performance of his ability level is. So I think he's primed to shoot a pretty low number this morning. He just went off here on one. And I think that he certainly is in the position where, with the way he's driving the ball and the way that he's hitting his irons, there's really, really no reason why he should be scoring as poorly as he has at Augusta. I mean, 77 yesterday is just so disappointing for him. But that being said, 63 or 64 would put him in some pretty historic conversations here at Augusta National. So maybe not that low, but it would not surprise me to see him maybe shoot a 67 and find himself on the right side of par to, you know, maybe put himself in the conversation come Sunday.
James Colgan, our guest from golf.com, joining us live from Augusta National right now. How about our defending champion, John Rahm? He may be counting his lucky stars that he's still in the tournament after going five over through the first two rounds. But John Rahm getting in on the skin of his teeth, do you think he can make a little bit of noise today and maybe find himself a little bit closer to contention?
I mean, he certainly has the ability to do it, but truthfully, I haven't really seen a lot from him this week to lead me to believe that. He just doesn't really look as sharp as he's looked for a good portion of the last 2 years in pro golf. His game just kind of seems to be a little all over the place. He's a little topsy-turvy. It's funny. I mean, he seems to be sort of frustrated by the fact that his career jump to LIV has left him sort of miring and maybe a slightly different or lower level of relevance. So I think he's working through the emotions of dealing with that. And certainly his golf game is not quite in the state that we have seen it over the last few years, where no matter what he was thinking about and what he was feeling, he was capable of shooting 66 at a moment's notice. I don't think he's quite there right now, but it wouldn't shock me, of course, to see him fire a few under par and wind up in the conversation come Sunday afternoon.
So, James, what last year versus this year, you mentioned Rahm and LIV. What is the LIV PGA vibe like at the Masters this year versus last year? And do you think it's playing a part to seeing 8 out of 13 make the cut?
Yeah, I mean, I think the interaction right now is at a significantly friendlier level than we've come to expect at really any point in the past. I think a lot of these guys have kind of let bygones be bygones as far as jumping to the other tour or finding themselves in a you know, contentious place. I don't think that there's really any resentment among the players. I don't think Phil is a particularly popular character now, but he certainly was not last year either. So I don't think that that's particularly new. But I think as far as the relationship between the two tours, it's as peaceful as it's ever been. I think the big thing right now that we're seeing is when there are a united tour, and when the best players in golf are playing in one weekend together, the product is considerably better. And I think we've been having a lot of conversations recently about the TV ratings being lower on the PGA Tour and struggles recently with generating a TV audience. And I think when you look at this weekend, you see some of the guys who missed the cut, some of the guys who, you know, struggled to really perform up to their level or up to what their name would suggest that they would do. I think what we're seeing is that a lot of those guys that the PGA Tour has been leaning on are not guys who are playing good golf. They're just not. And I think that when you look at the success that LIV has had, really what it shows us this weekend is not that those guys are better or that the PGA Tour guys are more prepared or less prepared. I seriously think it just shows us that there are not that many truly great golfers in the world, and the division that we've had in the sport over the last 2 years has served to separate them into two fairly even camps, and that's just bad news for everyone. I mean, the prevailing sentiment that I've had from this week has been that it's such a shame that the state of pro golf is what it is currently, because we should be having weeks like this more often. And, you know, it's great that the Masters has been a tremendous environment. It's great that the TV ratings have been good, but man, it's disappointing to think that we won't get this again until the PGA, and we might not get it more than four times this year.
That's an interesting point you bring up there. I was going to ask you about the merger. Any rumblings about what the state of that agreement is?
We were about as lucky to hear about that from anyone as we are to hear from the Green Jackets about some details of the financial backings of Augusta National, which is to say that we are not likely to hear about that at all. I think the reality is right now that both sides are still ironing things out, and those conversations are happening between like five or six people in the world and not between, you know, 20 or 30, where some details might leak out to the press. I have not heard anything relating to a merger, but truthfully, if I'm being completely honest, I'm stunned that we have not received one by this point. I mean, it's kind of just this cloud hanging over the Masters that we're in this situation, and you know, we still don't have any clarity on what the future looks like. It's obviously, it's a considerable issue, and I know that the folks at the PGA Tour have spoken at length about how they don't want to negotiate out in public and how these are complex things, and they want to make sure that they get it right rather than that they're, you know, communicating it all openly. But truthfully, like, at this point, I think there's such a level of fatigue in the sport, and the TV ratings are certainly reflecting it. Like, this is a huge issue for golf. This could be an existential issue for golf if they don't figure it out soon enough. And obviously that is incumbent on both the PIF and on the PGA Tour to figure out, and not just on the PGA Tour. But I think it's frustrating that we've reached this point in the season. We're almost a year out from the merger news, which was June 6th of last year. It's really frustrating that we've gotten this far and we're not any closer to a solution, it seems.
So given that frustration, I also know that there was a Greg Norman sighting. And so what did that do to the vibe throughout, you know, the national, if you will? And was it a total surprise? And I guess he got his ticket just like a regular human would get a ticket somewhere that he knew.
That is correct. It was kind of shocking to see photos of Greg Norman surface just wandering the fairways here at Augusta National. He did purchase the ticket simply off the secondary market. All of the players that play for LIV in the field are given a certain amount of player tickets that they're allotted. So it is kind of strange that Greg did not receive one of them from at least one of his competitors in the field. But he elected to purchase the ticket himself. He came on site really just to walk around and see it. I think that the sighting was informative to at least the fact that Greg Norman's perspective on LIV Golf has not changed one iota since this merger news has come out. I think that we can say pretty confidently that he is still hoping for a solution in which his tour is at least comparable to the PGA Tour, if not, you know, seen as sort of superior to it. Whether that will actually bear out in public, I'm a little bit more dubious. But yeah, it was fairly fascinating to witness him here. I don't necessarily think that the Green Jackets or the people at Augusta National were particularly thrilled about his appearance here, but I think it's also pretty telling that he was resorted to the secondary market to find his way onto the grounds here on Thursday and Friday.
Interesting. James Colgan with us here on the CDGA Golf Show from golf.com. How about Tiger? Man, like, he did it again. He made yet another cut. That's 24 in a row for Tiger. That breaks the record. And he did it in pretty impressive fashion, too, with the way that he had to go out, play 23 on Friday. And that body's not really built to play 23 holes, but he found a way.
Man, he has impressed me so, so much this week. I mean, I know that it's a I know that's redundant to say that Tiger Woods is a pretty remarkable player, but just witnessing the way that his game has reacted, the way that his body has reacted to playing in what were truly, truly punishing conditions here. The fact that with his ball flight, which is so high in the air and moves so much left to right, he was able to manage this golf course to shoot only one over through 36 holes. And he got the worst side of the draw. If he had gone out early on Thursday, he might have scored two or three shots better. Man, I was blown away by his performance this week. I think the state of his golf game, obviously, eminently, the question is how frequently he can do this. And, you know, if his body will allow him to do this four times in a row, which we still don't know. But at least from the quality of play that I saw on Thursday and Friday, man, like, this Tiger Woods has not lost it quite yet. There is still definitely some golf left in that body. Whether that's enough to get a win at the Masters, I'm not sure. But, man, I have been blown away by his performance this week.
And speaking of blown away and the win we had yesterday, that led to a lot of slow play. How much did that become a topic, sort of maybe even behind closed doors? I know they're at Augusta. They can't say what they want to say. But when I'm asking the question, I guess I'm thinking more about Brooks and Tyrell Hatton, just to name a few.
Well, Mike, I think there was definitely some frustration among the playing contingent about the pace of play yesterday. But truthfully, like with the exception of Rahm, who seemed just generally frustrated, I didn't hear from a single player that they thought the conditions were unfair. Obviously, the wind forced a lot of guys to back off their shots. It forced, you know, the sand blowing up into the greens, forced the maintenance, and forced players to kind of have to stop their putting routines on a bunch of different occasions. But as far as the actual pace of play was concerned, I thought things moved about as quickly as we would expect from a really, really hard round of golf in really, really tough conditions on the PGA Tour. Of course, we would prefer if it was closer to 4 hours around instead of 6 hours around, which is what it was yesterday. But at the same time, you know, I think that when you're talking about the challenge of playing in those conditions, it is sort of a responsibility of the players to make sure that they're not just hitting sort of careless shots into absolute gale force winds. So I don't necessarily mind the fact that it took a little bit longer. And I think for Augusta, as far as finishing this tournament on time on Sunday was concerned, if you had to play a couple 6 hour rounds to make that happen, well, I think that's well worth it.
James Colgan, before we let you go here, you got any plans Monday?
Yeah.
All right. So I feel sort of guilty telling the listeners of ESPN Chicago about this, but there is a tradition here at the Masters called the Monday Media Lottery, which is when about 28 people get to play Augusta National the Monday after the Masters with all the Sunday pins still in place. And after 4 years of entering, I was finally selected this year, so I will be playing Augusta National on Monday afternoon at some point. I am in a pretty jubilant state about the entire thing. I've spoken to my parents about it. They were very emotional. It's a pretty incredible thing to get to do. I said to someone yesterday, of all of the very lucky and dumb things that have happened to me in what has been a pretty lucky and dumb life, this might be the most stupid and most fortunate break that I've gotten. So, yeah, this is going to be pretty cool. I'm very, very excited.
Well, if it couldn't be me, I'm glad it's you. But given the fact that you get to do this tomorrow, don't take any mulligans for sure, right? But what do you think you will actually shoot?
Man, so we play from the member tees, which are apparently pretty short for I'm a relatively long player. So hopefully that will allow me to score somewhere in the mid-80s. But truthfully, I'm there for a good time and not necessarily for the score that I'm going to shoot. I was saying to someone, I'm just so overjoyed to be even experiencing this and to be able to just kind of share the memory of doing this with some of the people in my life that, like, I'm in kind of a zen state about the whole thing. I really don't care what I shoot on Monday. I hope it's good, obviously, but if it's not good, I'm not going to be whining over it. Definitely not feeling any sort of negative way about the experience.
Well, James, our resident meteorologist, Tracy Butler from ABC7, has cooked up a nice day for you as well. She says mostly sunny, winds out of the southeast, 5 to 12 miles per hour. And the temperatures at 8 a.m. will be around 62 and 5 p.m. will be around 87. So you're going to have a nice day to do it as well. My friend, thank you so much for joining us. And best of luck on Monday. I don't really care what you do today or tomorrow, but it's all about Monday for you.
Play well.
Cheers. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
James Colgan on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. When we come back, we will take a quick whip around the CDGA. This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Thank you to Justin Pottinger for producing today. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. Before we go around the CDGA, caller 6 and caller 4 will win a Masters Journal as well. 312-332-3776. Caller 4, caller 6, you win a Masters Journal at 312-332-3776. All right, Mike, what's going on around the CDGA?
So real quick, I reached out to our resident rules expert at the CDGA, Jody Ciotti, who's our senior managing director of membership, and she confirmed that when a ball is replaced on the spot, it is owned. So if the ball moves by the wind and it is replaced, even if it blows into the hole. So that one caller had asked that question. And make sure you pick up the latest edition of CDGA Magazine. There is an outstanding article regarding Kirk Hepburn, who's a cameraman on the 12th hole. So more Masters reading material right here.
There you go. All right, we will be back next week at 9 a.m. Connor McKnight and White Sox Weekly is coming up next here on ESPN 1000.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.